I want you to open your Bibles up, please. I did quite a bit of reading in the first service, but I had a little unction that I'm not going to read as much this service. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. In a moment, we're going to look at one verse. I believe that in the lesson, I'll be able to communicate to you the context. But I began about 2 weeks ago a series entitled, Where Are You? Where are you? Wrong place, good place, or set place? Now this series, the theme of this series is on proper alignment or proper placement. In the kingdom of God, divine alignment or proper placement is critical. Did you hear that? I said that in the kingdom, divine alignment or proper placement is critical to the success of both the believer and the church. As a born-again believer, it's important that you be in divine alignment. But it's not just important for your sake, it is important for the church, the local church, and the church at large. It is critical in the day and hour that we're living in that we be in alignment with God. And that's what we're talking about. In lesson one, we talked about divine alignment in destiny. Last week in lesson two, we talked about being in the wrong place. Today, we're going to talk about being in a good place. Say a good place.
Good place.
Say a good place.
Good place.
Say a good place.
Good place.
Have you ever heard anybody say, or maybe you say to yourself, you know, I'm in a good place. Say, good place. Elijah, who will be the subject of our discussion today. Last week, Jonah was the main character, but today, we're going to look at Elijah today. And Elijah was in a good place. Let's see where Elijah was. Let me ask a question. How many of y'all in a good place? Okay, wave at me. Okay. Elijah was in a good place. Let's look and see where he was. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. I'm reading from the traditional King James. It says, and he came thither, Elijah came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said, God said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here? All of you that are in this good place, I saw your hand, you say you're in a good place. God is asking you, what are you doing here? Often believers confuse a good place with being in the right place. A good place and the right place are not necessarily the same. Here in this cave, Elijah was in a good place. But he was not where God wanted him to be. Nor was he doing what God wanted him to do. But he was in a good place. And God asked him, what are you doing here? In our text, and it will maybe help you if you like to read chapter 18, chapter 19, but I'll give you some context as we get through the lesson. But in our text, Elijah is 95 miles outside of the will of God. Said 95 miles. She's 95 miles outside of the will of God. He has given up on his assignment. He has quit the ministry. He's in a cave, and God asked him, hey, Elijah, what are you doing here? That's what God is asking many in the church today, not just in this church now, but those of you that are watching me by television or internet. God is saying, hey, what are you doing here? Well, I'm in a good place, Pastor. So let's talk about what is a good place. A good place is a place of withdrawal. A good place is a place of hiding. A good place is a place of release. A good place is a place of relief. So, let me come down here and look at you. So, are you in a place of withdrawal? Are you in a place of hiding? Are you in a place of release? Are you in a place of relief? What are you talking about? I'm talking about withdrawal, hiding, release, and release from challenging situations that you should be working through. I'm talking about withdrawal. I'm talking about hiding. I'm talking about release. I'm talking about relief from difficult relationships that you should be working through. I'm talking about relief and release from the pressures of circumstance. You're not in a cave, are you? I'm talking about relief and release from the expectations of people. The demands and responsibilities and commitments to God and ministry. I'm talking about hiding from confronting our own weaknesses. So Elijah here, this dude right here, this is a prophet. This is a prophet of God hiding out in a cave. And he's in a good place now. He's in a what kind of place? He in a good place because in that cave, he doesn't have to deal with any difficult situations. In that cave, he doesn't have to work through any problem people. He doesn't have to deal with Ahab and Jezebel. In that cave, he doesn't have to deal in ministry with the expectations of people. He doesn't have to deal with the responsibilities and the commitments and the demands of ministry. He's in a good place. Come on, take a, come on, take a sigh. Ooh, come on, do it. Come on with me. Say, ooh, come on, do it. Come on. Say, ooh. You know how you feel when you get outside of something and you feel like, ooh, come on, work with me. Come on. Come on, let me see your shoulder. Come on. Let's get a sense of relief right now. Come on, work with me. There are three words that are similar and often used interchangeably, but they're really not the same. Those three words are release, relieve, and peace. And sometimes we confuse release and relieve with peace. In other words, you can be released and relieved and not have peace. Let's look at these three words. The word release means to be free from. Think about it. The boy is free now from all this. He ain't free from ministry because he done quit ministry. See, he through with that. He done turned in his minister's papers. No more preaching assignments. No help. He ain't got to work no more miracles. He's free from his assignment. The word relieve means to ease a person's thoughts from mental distress or pressure. To relieve, to ease my thoughts from mental distress and pressure. Yeah, man, there's a lot of pressure dealing with Ahab and Jezebel. Think about the pressure. All these folk, you got a call fire down from heaven, everybody waiting on you to perform a miracle. Man, that's a lot of pressure. So in the cave, guess what? He in the cave, he like, now peace is different though. And sometimes peace, people confuse peace with relief and release. See, peace is on the inside. Peace is divine. It is a sense of relaxation. It is a sense of tranquility and calm and rest in spite of what you're dealing with. And it's easy to see the difference now. It's easy to see the difference when you understand that release and relieve is related to either me removing myself or the circumstances being removed from me. But when I'm in peace, I can stand right in that situation. And nothing has to change around me and I can have peace. Release and relief is often self-promoted, self-initiated. But peace comes from God. Now y'all looking at me like y'all looking at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, well, you know, I feel sorry sometimes for many of you. I do. I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for me sometimes. I feel sorry for God's people, and sometimes I just feel sorry for God because he had to deal with us. Amen. We making all these decisions and say he did it. He told us. He showed us. He led us. When really we would just shoot for release and relief. See, you're looking like you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, let me explain it to you. Like some of you, come on, wave, come on, wait, come on, let me, hug me. So you see I'm on your side. Come on, hug me. You used to be very active in ministry. You don't do nothing now. You know why? Because you release yourself. And now you got relief. Oh, God, I don't have to deal with no meetings. Oh, God, I don't have to be getting up early. Oh, God, I don't have to deal with them folk.
Come on, Pastor.
So now you got relief, but But you don't have peace. Because you're not doing what God assigned you to do. You're not bringing anything to the table. But you release because, you release yourself. Because God didn't tell you to take a break. Sabbatical. And for some of you, retirement. You like it. You just like Elijah. You don't ever intend to engage again. The Bible says he lodged in the cave. You at large mean to dwell in. In other words, he built him a little room on the inside. He all the furniture. He was on the inside. He was never going to come out ever again. And some of you, you don't intend to work for God anymore because you just, whew, come on, do this. Whew, thank you.
Yes, sir. That's good.
And then if you don't really understand that, because some of you still looking the same way. Okay, let me explain. Let me explain release and relieved in sexual terms. Singles, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I mean? You're feeling pressure. You're feeling a little pressure. You know what I mean? You don't know what I mean? In other words, you get horny sometimes. Come on, you're just horny. You know what I mean? You got pressure on you. And you want to release. Because it's a lot of pressure living celibate. It is, it's a lot of pressure. And sometimes you want to release. Right? Right? And so some of you decided just you're going to get you some relief. Even before you get married, you're not, I'm going to give you some release. And so you're doing stuff that you know you is not godly, but you just, you ain't got no more pressure on you. You ain't horny, you ain't no, you know what I mean? You can put up your sex toys and you know all the kind of stuff. Think about it. You got release. You ain't got to masturbate and not land anymore. You got to say, ooh, come on, do this. Ooh.
All right. Amen.
Now, listen, look at all the married folk. I mean, look at all the married folk. Yeah, tell them, Pastor. Tell them, Pastor. Okay, let me talk about you. Isn't it a lot of pressure to be married and horny?
Come on, Pastor. Amen. Help us out, Pastor.
Isn't it a lot of pressure, huh? Keep straight face. Isn't it a lot of pressure to be married and your spouse don't care about meeting your needs sexually? It's frustrating, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
To be married and saved. And want to live for God. And you married to somebody that could care less about whether your needs are met. So what do you do if you're married and saved and your spouse doesn't care anything? You still want some ring. But your spouse dares you to go outside that marriage. But they are insensitive, uncaring, don't give a flip. So what are you going to do? Well, the godly will be frustrated. And then others will find other places to get some release. Okay, got quiet on me, see? Yeah, see, you were ready. Yeah, tell them single folk. I know what I'm talking about. I had somebody came up to me after the first service, said, you were talking to me. been married for years. After first service, you'll be amazed at the married people that are frustrated. Here's a married person say, I'm celibate and I'm married. Been married for years and my spouse doesn't want me. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? So which is better? Is it better to be single and sexually frustrated or married and sexually frustrated? Yeah, did y'all leave? Did y'all leave? You know why it's quiet? Because there are a number of married persons that stay there, Pastor. Yes. They're folk right now. Stay there. Don't move. Man of God, we ain't got nowhere to go. Listen, we'll miss lunch. We will miss lunch. Man of God, do not move. So which is better? Which is better? Is it better to be single and sexually frustrated? Or married and sexually frustrated? If I had to choose, I'd say it's better to be single than frustrated. Because at least you got a shot somewhere sooner or later. You're married and frustrated, you get hopeless. I just said that. Do y'all understand the difference? Because, see, you can go outside of your marriage or you can fornicate and get some release and get some relief and you feel better, but that's not peace. Because you can't have peace out of the will of God. So a lot of Christians, they got release and relief, but they ain't got no peace. Did I need to get some more definitions for that? Okay, I go on. Okay. I got thumbs up. So let me ask you a question. So Elijah found release and he was relieved, but he was in a cave out of the will of God. Let me ask you a question. A couple of questions. Are there times when we should work through situations rather than looking to be released from them? Huh? Okay. Another question. Are there relationships that we should work through rather than looking for a way out? So I'm not talking about abuse and molestation and all that kind of stuff, but are there situations and people situations that we should work through rather than trying to get out? Okay. So here Elijah is. He's 95 miles outside of the will of God in a cave. So how did he move from the will of God into a cave? Let's look at it. Number one, he moved outside the will of God because of unauthorized expectations. On what? In other words, he was disappointed because his expectations was not realized. Here is a man of God. Here is a prophet of God. He successfully called for a drought and it lasts 3.5 years. He successfully called for it to rain again, and it rained again. He called fire down from heaven. I mean fire down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, and he ended up killing 850 prophets. Now, after you walk in the will of God, walk in the word of God, you would think that your expectations would be met. So he expected nationwide revival. He expected Jezebel and Ahab to repent. He expected to be honored, to be recognized, promoted. He expected a parade, and what did he get? He had a crazy woman say, I'm gonna kill you in 24 hours. Sometimes we end up in a good place out of the will of God because we have unauthorized expectations. See, God never told you that your environments were gonna be perfect. In fact, what he did tell you is over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, he said, with lowliness, with meekness, with long suffering. He said, forbear one another. In other words, put up with one another. Put up with one. And then he said, endeavor to keep the unity of the of peace in the spirit of God, in the love of God. He said, work through it. God never told us that everything was going to be perfect. Your work environment going to be perfect. Your marriage going to be perfect. Your church going to be perfect. This going to be perfect. So if you have that kind of expectation, the moment you hit a hard place, you're going to go to a cave to get away. God never told you everybody was going to appreciate you. Well, they don't appreciate me down at the church. God never told you they were going to appreciate you down at the church. He said he'd never leave you. He said he'd never forsake you. I can't get ahead. God never told you folk won't get you ahead. He said promotion comes not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. He said, I'm the one that promotes. He said, every good thing that any man does, the same shall he receive from the Lord, from the Lord, from the Lord, from the Lord. He said, go into the vineyard, whatsoever right, I'll pay you, I'll pay you, I'll pay you, I'll pay you. Then said, people are going to pay you. People quit churches because of people. Unauthorized expectations. He ended up in a cave, secondly, because of unmanaged emotions. He went from overwhelming joy. Fire came down from heaven. Then Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you in 24 hours. He went to fear, rejection, and in a cave, he hopeless. In fact, he asking God to take his life. His emotions, he's not managing his emotions. Watch this. Emotions are situation and circumstance driven. When your situation is positive, you're going to have some positive emotions. When your situations are negative, you have some negative. Because, listen, emotions are situations and circumstance driven. You should never make big decisions when you're in a highly emotional state. Because emotions are fickle. Are you listening to me? Am I talking to anybody here? Am I talking to anybody here? Am I talking? What are you doing here? He didn't get a word from God. God didn't tell him to leave his assignment. God never told him that his mission was over. He's operating out of his emotions. Many Christians are in good places out of the will of God because they were led by their emotions and then they connect God said it. But they have no word from God because they didn't take the time to talk to him. They just got mad. Mad, quit the church, mad, quit the relationship, mad, quit this, mad, quit this, mad, quit this. And now I'm in a good place. I'm feeling good now. Self-directed. Emotion-directed. Release and relief, but no peace. He ended up in a cave because of unbalanced isolation. If you read the 19th chapter in the third verse, the Bible says he left his assistant at Beersheba and he went the rest of the way alone. That's what Satan wants. He wants you to be isolated. Unbalanced isolation. We need to have a support system. Come on, say that. I need A support system. Boy, out there by himself, listening to his own mind. You know my story about the zebra and the tigers? How many heard my story about the zebras and the tigers? How many have not heard my story? I can tell it then, okay. You got the little zebras, they so pretty. And all of them running together, just wagging their little tail, running together, pretty. And then you got the mean old tiger. But he ain't gonna attack the pack. Mean old tiger. He just run behind them. And the little zebras just running together. Cause there's safety in crowds and numbers. And then one dumb zebra take off from the crowd. What does the mean old tiger do? Run behind the little crazy zebra. Isolation. Satan wants you in isolation. That's why God spoke to me and said, sister church in smaller units rather than larger ones. See, it wasn't just a faith chapel gimmick, a faith chapel, something they came up with. God knew that you can't develop community in this kind of setting. That's why we created the small groups, and we're encouraging everybody to be in a small group. Because in a setting like this, here's what you do in a setting like this. You come, hear the word, leave. You come, hear the word, and leave. You come, hear the word, and leave. But there's no connection. You can't know in this environment. You can't be known. And when people have life events, how is people going to know you in the hospital? How will people know that you had a death? How will people know that you got promoted on your job? How will people know that you happy and you're engaged? How will people know when you just come to church, hear the word, and go home, and then get mad when we didn't know?
Yeah.
But we will have to have a supernatural revelation from the Spirit of God to know, because you're not connected. Because the more we grow, the less you're going to feel intimate. That's why he said sister church in smaller units. So that in these smaller units, small groups, people can know and be known. Then folk will know when you have a life event, and there'll be somebody standing there with you. But there's no way. And many people get mad at us. They say, well, you didn't do this and you didn't do this, but you just come to church and leave. Unbalanced isolation. You always end up in a good place. In unbalanced isolation, in a cave. Am I making sense?
Yes, sir.
He ended up in a cave because of unduly fatigued. He was unduly fatigued. Angel came down, the boy fell. He running and suicidal, watch this, suicidal. Nobody talked to him, he by himself, he's suicidal. Want Lord to take his life. And he fell asleep on a juniper tree. I mean, just fell out. I mean, the boy just fell out. And the angel came. Now, normally when an angel come, the angel said, fear not. Angel said nothing to that boy in this situation. He looked up and saw the angel and didn't think nothing of it. He tired. He just tired. Angel gave him some angel food. He ate and fell back asleep. Angel woke him up again and gave him some more food and some more to drink. He was tired. He was unduly fatigued. He violated the work rest cycle. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? I know we're not under the law, but there was a principle God was trying to get across.
Amen.
That is, we work, rest, work, rest, work, rest. You work, rest, you work, rest, you work, rest, you work, rest. You have to work, but then you have to rest. You work, but you have to rest. You work. If you're working 7 days a week, you're out of balance. And soon away, your resistance is going to fall, and you're not going to be able to resist because you're just tired. When you working all the time, listen to me, when you working all the time, something is going lacking. Right. Right. You can't have healthy relationships if you're working all the time. Right. You can't have healthy kids if you're working all the time. You can't keep your health up if you're working all the time. You end up in a cave. I say you end up in a cave. He ended up in a cave because of number five, unwise comparisons. He comparing himself to somebody else. You know what happens when you compare yourself to somebody else? What happens? Why does the Bible tell us over in 2 Corinthians, I think 10 verse 12, it says, they that measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Why is it not wise for me to compare myself to this brother? That is a question I'm asking. Why? God may want him to do something different than what he wants me to do. And when I start comparing myself to him, then I'm going to come up short, or he's going to come up short. Does that make sense? Because he's going to be comparing his assignment with my assignment. I'm going to be comparing my assignment with his. Since mine is not going to match his and his not going to match, we're going to feel like we came up short. And the problem with comparison is you're going to always see some people a little farther behind you, and that causes pride. And then there's going to always be somebody a little further ahead of you, and that's going to cause depression.
Yes, yes, yes. So true.
And jealousy. Yep. Does that make sense to you? Yes, you know what was interesting about this situation? Elijah was successful and didn't know it. Now listen to me carefully, I'm about to close. There were 7,000 people, God said, that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Elijah didn't know them. But his life had inspired people that he didn't know. So he depressed because he doesn't realize that there are people watching you and they'll never come up to you. So I posted one time on Facebook, I said this on Facebook, on one of my posts, I said, people are watching you and they're gaining inspiration from you. So whenever you feel like quitting, remember them. Because they're going to always be people that are watching you and inspired by you, but they'll never come up to you and tell you. Amen. You made a commitment to walk with God. Your friends know it. And they're watching you. I had a friend that watched me for years. Now, he quit me. But he watched me for years. And then later, we got back together. And he said, Mike, you just made a commitment to go one way, and I didn't want to go. But he watched for years. There are people that are watching you, and they're inspired by your commitment. They're inspired by your willingness to live for God. But often you'll never know it. Sometimes our greatest work is not spectacular. Sometimes the things that we're doing that are the greatest is not what we do, but what we help others to do. Elijah's greatest work was not his miracles. His greatest work was mentoring Elisha. Elisha did twice as many miracles. My mother and my father never went to high school. Maybe sixth grade education, maybe seventh grade education. My dad would write me letters in college and had all these misspelled words. So if you looked at his life and you said, well, what did he accomplish? And, you know, what did they accomplish? And if you look in terms of finances, if you look in terms of education, and you look in terms of prominence, if you look in terms of prestige, you would say he was not successful. But some of the greatest work was me. The greatest work was providing an environment for me, providing shelter, food for me, mentoring me, keeping me in the right place. Watch this. And now I'm impacting many other lives. So much of the time, your greatest work is not just what you do. Because I know some of you thinking, man, I'm getting old. I don't think I've accomplished better. See, you're measuring it only by what you do. What you personally accomplished. But if you sold your life into people, if you're giving your life to people, there are going to be so many people when you get to heaven, they're going to walk up to you and say, thank you. And you'll never know about him. And he's depressed, but he's successful, but he don't know it. He got in a cave because he made unadvised decisions. Decisions without talking to God. If he'd have just took the time, the Bible said when he heard this, when he saw this, when he listened to her words, he ran for his life. If he'd have just took a little time and said, God, I'm scared. God, it doesn't look like I'm working. It doesn't look like I'm successful, but I'm just going to spend some time with you because I need you to talk to me. He never would have ran. He'd have stayed right in there and worked through that situation because God would have given him the grace to do it. Where are you? Where are you? Have you withdrawn, hidden from something you should be confronting? What about your weakness? Have you hid in a cave and not just stood up and confronted what your problem is? Rather than run to a cave, run to counseling. Let somebody talk to you. Let somebody talk to you. I know you're a man, and I know you ain't used to telling folk your business. And I know you may have had some trust issues, and maybe folk let you down, and you've seen things in church, but everybody's not wrong. Every church is not bad. Everybody, not everybody gonna tell your business. Don't run to the cave. Run to God. Is it peace or is it just release? Is it peace or you just relieved? Will you stand, please?